the Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
We are one nation under God. We shed our blood, depend our hearts. We know exactly who we are. America, we are America. We work hard.
Welcome, everyone, to Raising a Nation. As you can see, Kate and Ash are away at GARP 4, which has been looking really amazing and fun. So we are filling in for them tonight. So guys, please give us a thumbs up. It really helps with the algorithms. You know the drill. And yeah, so how are you doing tonight, Brad?
I'm doing good. It looks like Trump's rally was canceled, so we might have a few extra eyes tonight. But it's always cool to come on here and talk a little awakened parenting with everyone.
Yeah, we can't get too extreme though, Brad. Remember last time? Sometimes though, honestly, as a mother, I do get so triggered at some of these things I look at. Thank God my children in some ways are sheltered from some of this stuff. But man, I'm telling you, some of these things I can't believe. And even into our, we're pretty remote out here in Southeast Alaska. Some things still make their way in here, and it's just frustrates me. So, but yes, it's okay. We're better than that. It's the mama bear in me.
I love it. And yes, I guess certainly my parenting, my parents, freaking amazing, wonderful parents. I definitely hit the parents jackpot. I even hit the in-law jackpot. So we both have pretty awesome parents. And yeah, but you know, being raised by Sal Zerbo from Corona, Queens, it's probably a little bit of a different upraising, or my mom too, from College Point. Probably a little different raising that might be accepted today, but it was all done with love. You know, they just didn't take no crap. But it's, I think there is a fine balance to be found in between, you know, being strict, but also being loving and not really falling too much either way. Just finding a nice balance to where you still teach your kids how to be good young men and young ladies while also showing them, you know, supporting them and loving them and, you know, being as much of a friend as you can.
Be a friend. He's like, we need to find that balance, right? And he's like, okay, am I the nice here? No, but it really is a balance.
You were meant to bring balance to the force, not leave it in darkness.
Oh my gosh. No, it's not true.
Parenting tip number one, show your kids Star Wars.
Actually, that's a good point. Star Wars actually does show that there is good and evil, darkness and light, a lot of these movies today. You know, it's weird. Somebody had pointed out one time, Brad, and they're like, if you look at the movies these days, a lot of the times now the villain has his own movie and he's kind of a hero, kind of. And you're like, wait, what are we doing here? I've noticed that a few times. So yeah, that does go on. Yeah,
it's like the anti-hero, right?
Yeah. Okay. So you got a name for it. You got a name. Nice. Yeah,
he's like the bad guy, but he's kind of misunderstood. You could almost see where he's coming from. I noticed that in the Avengers movies where like Thanos, obviously Thanos wants to literally population control. It was like population control of the movie. And he's shown, and he pushed all these like population control talking points. It might as well have been a freaking, a UN Earth Summit, Agenda 21 Earth Summit. And they were like, you know, they're using up all the materials and blah, blah, blah. And actually to save the universe, you have to kill half the universe. So that was Thanos we wanted to do. But he made it, they almost painted him almost when he was pleading. He wasn't saying like evil villain. He was saying like he wanted to help humanity. And I noticed that's not an exact example of what he's saying, but they do it a lot where like the bad guy's almost relatable or he's the cool one or stuff like that. It's very, very psychologically manipulative.
Well, I'm not only manipulative, only because I'm fresh going through that series on my channel, about the Battle of Good and Evil, about really specifically guys about the secret religion that they all follow. Brad, that's what they're all about. They talk about how destruction and chaos is needed to create, right? They're all about disorder and all this stuff and how that's the true God. And it's very unique and interesting. But yeah, you're right. You see that where the villain is kind of idolizes now the cool person. I haven't watched a lot of the... Sorry, I can't even remember what it is with Thor and Loki, you know, the name.
Oh, yeah, the Marvel movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think they had a series of like Loki now following him, but I think he's like the god of destruction or something bad or something like that. It's like, I don't quote me on that. You probably know, but I still felt like, oh, this is a kind of a bad character having their own series. Interesting.
Yeah. I wonder, I haven't watched any of the Loki series, so I can't speak to whether it was good or bad. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Like, I mean, historically speaking in Norse mythology, Loki, I think, is the trickster god. You know, he's like the devil. He's like tricksy and stuff like that. But yeah, exactly. That is just the way of the world. And they're always vying for the minds of our children. And I think you guys will be happy to see. I know you were excited when I was showing you this. There was a study, came out just a few months ago. And this was done by the Institute for Family Studies, Strong Families, Gallup, and Jonathan Rowell, who is he's with the Brookings Institute. So you know, pretty reputable places. And they found that this is talking about like relationships with parents and kids. And they were finding that the single strongest predictor is relationship quality. But here, this is what I thought was interesting. As with parenting practices, political ideology and attitudes towards marriage are also strongly predictive of parent-child relationships. This is on page 15. It goes on and says, very conservative parents, on average, enjoy the strongest relationship with their adolescent children, and liberals experience the worst. The difference is large and statistically significant. At 95% confidence levels, conservative parents are 8% points more likely to be in a good relationship with their adolescent children than liberal parents. And the gap is 14% points between very conservative and liberal parents. Now, I said very liberal, I did score a little higher than regular liberal, and that's only slightly behind conservatives. But with no significant difference, but still the overall relationship quality gap, it did favor conservatives over liberal parents. And that is...
This is amazing, by the way, Brad.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And here it is. Oops, one of these. I think it's this one. Yeah, so this is the relationship. Here's very conservative was the highest group. Conservative, like the top, the high end is slightly below very liberal, but its average is way above. So in general, this one would average out to a little higher than this too. And then you have moderate is pretty low. Liberal's the lowest. And then very liberal is, you know, up a little higher than that. But what do you think of that?
So, yeah, as far as mental health, this is very important. Like I was telling Brad, having studies in front of your own eyes, those things are really important because you can look at a broader spectrum and see what we're dealing with here. So this is the thing. There are, because I do know people, good liberal parents. But the thing is this liberal mindset now subscribes to a lot of these insane things that are not scientific at all, like transgenderism and like all these crazy things that in a way they almost have to accept that we know is not correct. It's not true. There's a male and a female. This is scientifically proven. And they want you to believe that's not true. But what I see here is that, yes, the mental health, it's demoralization. What do you see commonly in more right-leaning families? Well, they have morals. They have truth, right? They, a lot of the times, tend to be religious-ish or maybe take their kids to church every now and then. They have, like I said, it's really comes down to the morality. And I'm not trying to pick on liberals, although sometimes we do. When you're insane. And that's okay for us to call it out. That's what it's all about. But this is cool because this is not just my opinion. This is a study and studies are something that are really shareable that you can point to. And dang, man, this is very exciting. I like that somebody actually did this. So it can show that, yes, what you teach your children can affect everything, including their mental health, which that's what we're seeing a huge rise in, right? All these mental illnesses and all these things. People have pinpointed it down to, oh, they don't have a father. They're in a single parent household. All these different things, all these different factors. And it really does play on the child's mental health. So that's pretty cool, Brad.
Yeah. So that for this one is just for like kids and their relationship with parents, but
relationship one.
So that was the first part. No, but to your point, there is also they also do touch on the mental health. And check this out: adolescents with very conservative parents are 16 to 17% percentage points more likely to be in good or excellent mental health compared to their peers with very liberal parents. Only 55% of adolescents of liberal parents reported good or excellent mental health, compared to 77% of those were conservative or very conservative parents. And it goes on, says this has largely gone unnoticed, but here's an article that's described a similar pattern by John and Hype. And this was an article, we won't go into this article too much, but this is from, he had been doing a study and with a friend, and they kind of started noticing the same sort of thing. But yeah, so that's two major takeaways from this is one, the mental health status of the children is significantly higher of those with conservative, very conservative parents. And then also they report having a better relationship with their parents if they're in a conservative household. And again, you know, I agree with you. I actually, you know, I know people who are liberal parents who are actually very good parents as well. So it's obviously not a it's not a whole thing, but having that ideology, I think, does open up the kids to these outside influences. And they're typically very toxic. The outside push on children, the outside liberal push on children of any of any household, is usually very, very bad. Or again, even like you're saying, pushing a lot of these like sexual identities and or things like even personal identities like transgenderism and trying to tell kids, are you born in a different body? Where these kids don't know what's going on right now. They need to find themselves first before they make any life-altering decisions, especially ones that include hormone pills and all that stuff. And there's things like that. And then there's also they get them with like the gun lobby, very much the anti-gun lobby targets children all the time, especially after Sandy Hook and some of these school shootings. They really like push that down kids' throats, like, oh, if you don't, you know, help the adults fight against guns, your school could get shot up, which is like hideous to just put that sort of stress on a child. Also, you know, kids who are performing those acts are hideous as well. That points to a mental health problem. Almost all these children who have shot up schools or anything, they're almost always on these psych meds or these depression meds or Ritalin or all that. They're typically on some sort of behavioral medication. And I think, boy, I think they're going to look back 100 years and be like, you were putting 10-year-olds on what? Like, what, he couldn't pay attention in school? He was antsy? His brain was all over the place? Of course, he's a freaking 10-year-old kid with an active imagination. You know, there's almost a case to be made that having them sit in a chair for 8 hours a day in school, basically like a job for 40 hours a week, is not the right way either. Obviously, you know, you always want to educate your kids, but it's like to say like, oh, they're antsy. Oh, my 11-year-old is antsy in school. Well, no shit. That doesn't mean you should put them on drugs. And then you put them on drugs and then they're hit with all these things like, oh, someone's going to shoot you. Someone's going to do this. Oh, are you really a boy or are you really a girl? And they hit them with all these adult topics while half of them are, again, on behavioral meds. And then these kids are like depressed and or snapping, and they're like, man, I don't know why this is happening. Like, hi, I got an idea. Why don't you just let them play with, toys and just be kids. Like, like kindergarten nowadays, from what I understand, they literally get homework in kindergarten. You know what we did in kindergarten? We played with blow up number people. Okay, and then we had nap time. It's just, they're like, they want to know what's happening to these kids. We know you're putting too much pressure on them, and you're pumping them full of shit, and it's just, it's all around no good.
Yeah, and yeah, sorry, I stand corrected that it wasn't mental health, was the parent-teacher relationship. Both. But to hit on the parent-teacher relationship with the kids is... It is true that conservative people, they teach like respect, right? So the child doesn't have to be on these meds, doesn't have to whatever, because it's teaching, again, the morals. So like, for example, my children, I obviously would be a conservative parent, right? But I don't hold their hand for everything. I teach them to learn and grow, and they can do it. Respect yourself, whatever. The liberal mindset, and I can say this as a fact, some instances or some things that I have heard of and stuff like that, where you'll have these liberal parents and the child be like, no, I don't want to do that. And they'll be like, okay. Or they'll like literally say, no, I'm going to call 911 if you touch me. You're going to discipline me. Or they'll hit their parents. And that's literally liberal teaching. That's a liberal household. No respect whatsoever. No wonder why you want to throw a Ritalin at them. But then guess what? They're never going to learn. And you're kind of, I call it child abuse, because you're literally causing a child to not grow and kind of be like an animal, really. I think it's wrong. So this is amazing because, again, it's like it's a statistical, like they did a study on it. So you can look at the data and come to your own conclusions, man. But this is something we need. This is what we need parents to see and for people to, consider, am I really, taking that time to talk to my children? Am I being that support in their life, or I'm letting the government do it? You know what I mean? Like big brother. So yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. And I think things like this are useful too, because, everyone's trying to get it right. Everyone on every side of the aisle, whether you agree with each other's political ideology, everyone is trying to raise the best kids they can. I just think some people are getting sold a false bill of goods. They're being sold on the line like, you don't have to. You let the child decide. You let the child make their decisions. And you don't really push back on them. It's like, kids want boundaries. People want boundaries. And they need them, whether they realize they want them or not. And it's just good. I mean, if you look at literally every species of animal on the planet, I mean... They're not gentle with their children, but they need them to learn the ways of the land so they can be productive adult members of society of whatever species they are. So things like this, I think, are very powerful. And yeah, and again, that number really stands out to me with the mental health, the 55%, only 55% liberal parents say they have report good mental health, to 77% with conservative parents. So I think there is something to a more conventional upraising, in my personal opinion.
Oh, yeah, dude, that is how you do it. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I agree wholeheartedly.
I can't believe it. You say, should we thank a few of our sponsors before we go on to the next thing?
Yes.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? The high cost of medical insurance is about to get more daunting, but Mid-Atlantic Business Alliance has the solution. For over 30 years, David Becker has been helping small businesses get the best PPO coverage at affordable rates. Mid-Atlantic Business Alliance is also pleased to announce the addition of new United Healthcare PPO plans in addition to the Cigna policies. Whether you're a sole proprietor or an employer with a larger group, there are proven ways to reduce your costs and get the best coverage available. David Becker and his son Jesse are here to help you get the best possible PPO insurance coverage at the lowest possible rates. So if you're stuck paying for your own insurance, why not give David and Jesse a call, see if they can help you too. Call for a free quote at 609-577-8557 or visit badlandsmedia.tv/Becker. That's badlandsmedia.tv/Becker.
Have you had enough of big pharma and big toxic ingredients? Ditch the harsh chemicals and embrace nature with us. For too long, we have been hypnotized by big companies into using their chemical slop products. Their clever marketing campaigns and heavy lobbying allow them to use words like natural to describe products that are anything but. Meet the Van Man Company, where we're all about natural, organic remedies. Hop in the van and try out our famous Tallow and Honey Balm as a daily face and full body moisturizer. Use our Miracle Tooth Powder made from ground eggshell and ground cattle bone to remineralize and naturally whiten your teeth. And try our new Coconut Magnesium Deodorant to keep you smelling fresh all day. We've got you covered, and we do it all with products sourced naturally from American farms made in San Diego, California. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/fanman today and get free shipping on all orders over $40.
Vector 117 says, are you calling your firstborn son after your father, Brad, as is our Sicilian tradition? No pressure. It's funny, we were just talking about this the other day, because like in Abby's family, they all do like their middle names. They all, right? You guys have like passed down your middle name. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's been May is what. So my grandmother had the middle name May. My mother had the middle name May. I had the middle name May, and then I passed it to my daughter. So it's like a really, it's fun. It's like a fun, special tradition. I don't know why it started, because it was like my mother's choice to do it. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it too. But yeah, that's super cool. And dang, Brad, putting you on the hot spot.
Well, yeah, as a Sicilian tradition, you're supposed to name it after the parents first, and then I think you go to the brothers. I know my grandparents on my dad's side, the Sicilian side, they had 9 kids, and so they also both had like a bunch of brothers and sisters, so they went like right down the, you know, 2 parents, like Millie, Vinny, and then 2 other parents, Charlie or Calogero, Franny, and then they started going down, like Jackie started doing all the brothers. And then eventually when they got to my dad, I think he was the 7th kid, and they were going to name him, I think maybe like Joey or Frank or something, after one of my grandfather's other brothers. And my grandmother was like, no, you have to name this one after you. Basically saying like, I don't know how many more of these I'm going to have. So, he was named Salvatore. It's funny. I was just in the main Badlands chat we have with the hosts, I guess all the hosts and stuff. I had said something to the effect that we were talking about like gambling or something. I was like, yeah, my brother Sal likes to gamble. And Ghost of Base Patrick Henry was like, My brother Sal likes to play poker. That's the most New York thing I've ever heard. And I was laughing because my grandfather is Sal. I have a cousin Sal. My father's Sal. My brother's Sal. As for me, I don't know. I think I am past, unfortunately, the age of kids. But I have 2 wonderful stepkids who are pretty rock and roll. So I would say that I feel very blessed.
Aw, that's so sweet. Yeah, kids are awesome. Kids are wild and amazing, but they're totally necessary. They are like the next generation. I think that's why there's a huge difference. I've noticed this gap that's been building between the, you know, I'm just going to say it for what it is, between the woke kids and the normal kids. And like, they were first here, you know, but now they're like this, and it's getting wider and wider. So, you know, you do see that happening, but it's good. It's kind of necessary for life to advance and continue, because you don't want to believe in a lie, guys. That's the biggest thing for me. Don't want to believe in a lie. I don't want to teach a lie.
I love it. Yes. only believe in true facts. But who determines what's true and what's not? I will say one thing cool about my name. My parents, of course, like my whole family is like Vinny, Frankie, Joey, Sal, and I'm Brad because my parents just, they were like, I think when my dad was recording some of his music back in the 70s, the kid next door's name was Brad, so my mom liked when she called him for dinner. She'd always hear him. She'd hear her be like, Bradley, dinner, and she, like, fell in love with the name. So I got, like, this totally, like, out-of-character name for my whole family. But in general, something that's cool, which I've come to appreciate more, you know, through the Q movement and stuff like that, especially, like, become more intimately acquainted with, like, John F. Kennedy and stuff, is they did my middle name is my mom's maiden name. And they did that because of John F. Kennedy. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, his mother's main name is Fitzgerald. So, I don't know. I thought that was like always like a cool little connection there with the brand. Get a Zerbo.
I love that, Brad. That's amazing. Super cool.
Now, do you want to lead us into this next topic that you were showing me? I think is definitely pretty important.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys. We're going to start you out with a video because a lot of times I do videos. That's just my deal. So we're going to play this. I'm going to meet you on the other side. I'm going to read the article about it. It's just about, really, the poison in our food. So let's see if I can find that. Okay.
Consumer Reports tested 12 store-bought Lunchables and similar lunch kits, and we found relatively high doses of lead, cadmium, or both in all of them. And most also had phthalates, which is a chemical used to make plastic that have been linked to a host of health problems. Two Lunchables manufactured by Kraft Heinz, similar to the ones we tested, are eligible to be served to children through the National School Lunch Program. That's nearly 30 million children that may be served lunch kits that have these contaminants and very high sodium levels. We think our kids deserve better choices, and these Lunchable kits should be removed from the school lunch program. Toxic heavy metals like lead and cadmium put kids at risk for developmental issues. While the amount of lead and cadmium in Lunchables did not exceed the legal limit, the risk of these problems increases with regular consumption over time. We even compare the two Lunchable kits that are in the National School Lunch Program to a McDonald's Happy Meal that's consisted of chicken nuggets, french fries, and apple slices. And the Lunchables served in schools contain more sodium than the Happy Meal. Eating too much sodium can lead to high blood pressure. Lastly, all but one of the store-bought kits tested positive for phthalates, which are chemicals found in plastic. These known hormone disruptors can contribute to an increased risk of reproductive problems, diabetes, and certain cancers. While some manufacturers told CR that sodium enhances taste and convenience, others like Kraft Heinz and Maple Leaf Foods are actively working to reduce sodium levels in their products. Tap the link in our bio to urge the Department of Agriculture to remove these Lunchable kits from the school lunch program.
Oh, thanks for adding me. So yes, so this was really recent, guys. Like that video was like 4 days old. This article I'm going to read you, it says, the go-to cheat for feeding your kids Lunchables has lead in it. And maker Kraft Heinz says it is a natural occurring part of food products. So I'm going to read this first part and it really goes into it. It says the fun, colorful packaging aimed at kids and the ease of use for parents makes it hard to accept that Lunchable actually contain harmful heavy metals and chemicals that could have negative health effects. A study by Consumer Reports this week found that several versions of Lunchables and generic lookalikes, so that's important to note, contained lead and cadmium, which have been linked to health problems in both children and adults. Of the 12 store-bought Lunchables, the Lunchable-style products the nonprofit tested, every single one contained either one or both of the heavy metals. Wow. Holy capoli, okay? And heavy metals are things that build up in your body that aren't easily taken out of your body. There are detoxes that you can do, but these are things that can stay in your body and build up. So that's important to remember as I read the rest of this.
Well, I'll just say really quick, the only heavy metals that should be introduced to your children is like Metallica and Anthrax and Megadeth. That's good.
Bradley!
that's a part of a good, good upbringing.
Oh my gosh. You just had to, didn't you? Oh my gosh. Okay, am I unmuted? Okay, good. All right. So where was I? Okay, heavy metals. Okay. While there is no national standard limit on the amount of heavy metals that can be found in most foods, Consumer Reports measured lead levels as a percentage of the California maximum allowable dose level, MADL, the most rigorous in the country. Lunchables maker, the Kraft Heinz Co., told Consumer Reports that its products meet strict safety standards and added that the lead and cadmium occur naturally in the environment and may be present in low levels in food products. The company did not immediately respond to Fortune's request for comment. Although lead and cadmium are naturally found in the environment, researchers conducting Consumer Reports studies said that the levels of lead found in the products it tested were relatively high for its small serving sizes. The highest lead levels were found in Lunchables, turkey, and cheddar cracker stackers, which contained 74% of the maximum allowable dose levels for lead in California. Okay, so just for a minute, remember that that's each time they consume this. And if the lead stays within the system, if you are consuming this over and over again, you will pass that safety standard. So it says the product was followed closely by Lunchables pizza with pepperoni, which contains 73% of the allowable level for lead. In total, 5 of the 12 products tested by Consumer Reports contain more than 50% the maximum allowable dose level for lead. Apart from those made by Kraft Heinz, the products more than 50% of the maximum allowable dose levels for lead were Smithfield's Armor, Lunchmakers, and Target's Good and Gather brand. And I don't have to continue too much in this, but I think at one point it does say how much is in it, which I'm not finding in this article. But I do have it saved. Let me pull it up over here so I can look at it. So they did say, I looked up the allowed blood level reference value that's put out for the nation, like what's considered above toxic. And it's 3.5 UGDL, and it's translated into micrograms per deciliter. So I was trying to figure out how much that is. And it's about 7 micrograms of lead per cup. That sounds scary to me, okay? And the fact that they're just like, oh, we're right under the level, so it's okay. If you have learned about heavy metals, they stay in your body and it can cause a lot of health problems. But what do you think, Brad?
Yeah, so I think you were saying too, like, you know, that's just one serving. So this is the type of thing where typically people, if they're giving their kids lunch for school, they repeat the same thing over and over again. So like for Lunchables, you're not just like, hey, I'm going to do this for Monday. You'll buy 5 for the week. And so if you're just continually doing that, and it sounds like it's in other foods too, that's not good. And it's, they're just kind of explaining it away like, oh, it's just a low level, big deal. But these things just build up and build up and build up over time. It's kind of almost like just slowly hitting at the health. It kind of reminds me of, not to go too much of a tangent, but of what they say with the vaccines, right? Or childhood vaccines. When we were kids, we didn't really get too many. And now these kids, starting from like the early 90s, after that big push for childhood vaccine, they get a ton of them. And when you look at them, they all have, amongst other things, they almost all have formaldehyde in them, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if you were going to go for formaldehyde, you can find it in every other freaking one. You know, it just goes right down the freaking line. Formaldehyde, 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 formaldehyde. Okay, so it's in every one. So now, the reason I bring this up is one, because, you know, first of all, I mean, most people are getting a lot of these, even just other than kids, but kids are getting a ton of these, right, before their immune systems are even made. And one of the pushbacks for this is that it's a very small trace amount, and people will be like, oh man, there's natural occurring formaldehyde in pears, even. And they'll say, tell you things like that, right? And okay, but if you're, it's not like they're just taking one, they're taking several all the time. And just in general, like, formaldehyde is very toxic. It's toxic for people. Here's a study as by the freaking NIH, pulmonary edema, pneumonitis, and death may occur after inhalation of formaldehyde at concentrations exceeding 50 ppm. But this just goes into all the different things that can happen that was under the respiratory system. But this is where they were testing small doses, and they were saying, you know, they'd have some discomfort. Some were like, for very small, were no significant changes. But again, as it got more and more, is extremely toxic and even caused death and terrible things in people, okay, with formaldehyde. So now you're talking about something that builds up over time, right? You're talking about, first of all these different vaccines. So it's not just a little trace amount. And then over the years, they're like, oh, now you have to get this vaccine. Now you got to get that vaccine. I still get things. They still want people to go get, as adults, go get vaccines all the time. And so I don't like that argument. I don't like the, oh, it's only a trace amount, what's the big deal argument? Because again, especially something like a freaking Lunchables, yeah, you could have kids could be eating this all year. And they were even saying it's in other foods. So I just think if someone's made you aware that there are iron of all freaking things and cadmium in your products, don't push back on it. Do what you can to remove it, or something to that effect, right?
Yeah, and yeah, it was lead. Iron is good a little bit now, but yes, lead.
Oh,
and
yeah, duh, lead. Okay, sorry. No, it's like,
I was hoping correct for the record. Yeah, I love you. But yeah, think about this, guys. Think about the Georgia Guidestones. I can't help every time when I see these slow poison kill. It's like, call me a conspiracy theorist. Go ahead. But Brad, you just showed me. Oh, yeah, this could kind of kill you. Let's put it in our arm, children's arms, as soon as they come out. You know, like, honestly, when I had my second child, my last child, they put four shots, like four vaccines, so to speak, or whatever. And it's like, I remember when I even saw that, I thought to myself, this is messed up, right? But we're kind of like told to, like, no, it's normal. It's for their health. Health. It's like the health mirage, right? But anyways, but it's wild, because it's like, as soon as they come out, put these foreign things in their body that they've never seen before. They're just fresh, like a flower, just opening up to the sun. And then they paint it or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So yeah, this whole stuff, I don't know. I just feel like it's, again, a slow way to take down the population. That's why I think of the Georgia Guidestones. That was written in stone. I mean, yeah. So I'm not laughing about it, but like, sometimes you got to laugh about it, Brad, right? Because it's just so insane. But yeah. I think that's what's going on here with the vaccines and everything like that. We all know it, cancer and all that stuff. They'll even tell you, you eat this, you eat that, you have a higher likely of having, you know, heart attacks or this or clots or, you know, all this. And it's like, yet it's on your shelves. It's paid for by the government, right? Lunchables paid for by the government for the food service for your children to eat. It's heavy. It's very heavy. My rant's done.
No, 100%. And again, a great comment for Vector 117. When you understand depopulation's agenda, it all makes sense. And yeah. I felt that way for a long time. Once you look through the lens of them wanting to lower the population, everything makes sense, especially the targeting of kids, and especially trying to confuse them sexually with all the these adult ideologies, poisoning them through the foods, putting them on drugs, just everything, everything across the way, injecting them with a million different chemicals before they could even freaking blink. And so just one by one, you start saying, why are they doing all these things? And it's just a slow rake on the population. Definitely.
Yeah, it's a slow kill. That's why these people are sick. You know, I found it. It said maintain humanity under 500. $500 million is the only zeros we had there. So yeah, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Interesting way to word that. So yeah, that's just one of those things. But yeah, that's why it's important, as you know, as parents, you know, this being raising a nation, you have to take the time to find the better foods. You have to take the time to go, you know, no, my child's exempt of this vaccine to play in sports, whatever, because you can do that. You have to take the time, though. It takes extra time. It takes your caring about what's happening. My kids right now are in public school because of certain reasons, and I wish it wasn't that way. But, you know, things are how they are right now. And so there's things, you know, that I can do in the meantime to give them true education, you know, when they're at home, because there's a lot of stuff out there, man, that's just really teaching false realities, false truths. You know, Brad, how I mentioned before, a lot of they'll go, it's my truth. My truth is this. My truth is that. So it's like, no, newsflash. There's usually only one truth, guys. There's perceptions. Okay. I'm not saying there isn't perceptions and different takes, but there is one truth. So that's important to take note of that.
Yeah, 100%. And I think as far as, you know, combating all these outside crazy ideologies or poisons or all these different things, right? Obviously, programming and stuff of that nature, battling that is one thing. But also, too, I think something that speaks to the study that we opened the episode with is just like love and spending time with your kids. I think that's pretty huge. Abby, I say all the time, right? Like that obviously I was blessed. You raised two great kids. You know, they're coming. They're almost teenagers now. And so for me, you've already raise them really well. So for me as a stepdad, this last, you know, year and plus, it's been probably easier than it is for some, you know, because they definitely know right from wrong and all these things. But one of the things I noticed is that you spend time with them. And I think that's so crucial. Like when we were growing up, my mom was home. She spent time with us, with me and my brother. And I just think that that kind of one-on-one attention means a lot. Even like yesterday, I came down and I think you know, stepson was making a fire in the backyard, right, in the fire pit. And then I came down, we were going to like roast some hot dogs, and Abby's like got to open up the tent for them, and they got a little camping area out, and, you know, they were going to camp out. Yeah, it wound up being cold, so they didn't, but nevertheless, you were just there spending time with them and, you know, be always down to do cool things.
You too.
And I love that. Yeah, I'm always down as well. But I just love that. And I notice the very hands-on. I think that's a big part of why they're growing up so well. Is just, you know, just giving them love and being a part of their life. I think that's huge.
Yeah, there is a beautiful, the perfect path, obviously, to being a parent, right? That we all try to strive towards. And obviously, we're always still growing as we are in many aspects of our lives. But the one thing about parenting that I've noticed, and I think a lot of you guys watching will totally agree, is that when they did the woman, and I love that I can speak about this because I'm a woman, right? So I can actually speak about it. So I think when they brought that whole women's movement, like the women, you know, they're going to work now and, you know, men raise kids now, nothing against that. But the whole point about it was when they did that, and my mom could attest to this, there was discrimination against stay-at-home moms. There really was. There was this feeling, you're at home with your kids. Oof. You know, like that doesn't sound fun. And my mom loved, she homeschooled us our whole lives. And there was seven of us. And our grades are pretty good, to be honest. Like, I just am saying that for the record, you know, because there's always this thing, like, oh, come out, whatever. But yeah. Oh, I lost my train of thought.
Well, I think just being homeschooled and your mom, right, being like directly involved in your lives.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, baby. But yeah, so like being involved was like a huge thing. And then, so that's what I want to bring to my kids. And it does, it changes everything. It really does. And again, you teach them the morals and stuff. Oh yeah. The woman's lib thing. That's what I was saying. Oh, yeah. That just kind of really made it so it was unpopular for women to be stay-at-home moms and do what the article was saying, to raise, you know, great relationships. And then again, there's probably a bunch of other statistics out there. I've heard my mom say stuff where if children do have good relationships with the family as a whole, close-knit family, they succeed in all aspects. They do really well in the workplace. They have way longer lasting relationships when they get married. They usually stay together, don't get a divorce. Like, you can find so many of these studies. And so it's sad. It's sad that that's kind of what happened out of that. And, but yes, if we can be there for our children, I think it really changes everything. It changes the future of America, but also the world. So it's a really cool, cool concept.
Yeah. I always wonder like, what instances might've been missed, right? If my mom was working as well and she wasn't home with us, and obviously most day you're at school anyway. So, but it's like when we got home, it's not like my mom was like tired from her day or some, she was spent time with us. And then obviously on the week, on during the summer, we're home with her all the time. And I remember one instance that I always wonder if this was a big part of my math. I've always been really good at gifted as math, as one is just a natural thing. But I remember it was like first grade, I think we were learning addition and subtraction. And my mom just decided to teach me, addition and subtraction. And my mom decided to teach me division. And she took a couple apples on the table. I think it was like four apples. And she was like, you got four apples and you divide them into two. And she pushed them into two groups of two. She said, what's the answer? And so, you know, yeah, I got to visually see it. And she was like, how many is here? I was like, two. She was like, that's right. You divide it into two. Each group then has two. And that like visual concept helped. And then we did it a couple other times with different things and items. And we just went through it until I understood the vision, maybe a year, maybe even 2 years before I learned it in school. And then my dad also, he would always just give me like math problems randomly. He just liked that. My grandfather used to do it to him when he'd bring him to work. My grandfather would rattle off the receipts, all the different receipts to my dad. He'd have to tally them in his head. So my dad would try to do that with me. And so those two things just involved my parents involving me and stuff like that. They were influential. I always wonder, like, well, was I gifted in math or was I just exposed to it at such an early age through like a more just friendly, not like you have to learn this in school atmosphere, but from just from like a parental, hey, let's learn something cool environment that helped. So it's just different things like that. And then obviously in general, my mom was, you know, involved in our life, but both my parents, but my dad, he worked long hours. It was more on the weekends and then late at night with my dad, but especially I just think there's something to being involved in the kid's life. If you can, they've kind of made it so you almost can't nowadays. They've priced out so many things. You almost need two incomes just to pay the bills, which is by design, of course. But for the people who can do it, I think it's the absolute best thing. And it's a more conventional upraising. And I think that speaks to probably why 77% of the kids who were raised by conservative parents reported being more have a more methyl stability than the lower 55% number for the liberals. And that's I would just theorize that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When you're talking, sorry, I was just thinking about my mom. The biggest thing she always told us was she's like, if you could read and write, you could do everything else. Because if you read and write, you could learn math, right? Because you would read how to do math, right? So it was always this thing. She's like, read and write, right? And then what do you see? There's a lot of removing of that. For example, the textbook situation in the school here, they don't have any. It's all online. And it's all only released each week when the teacher wants to put it out. See, in the past, you would have a textbook if you want to look ahead and you could do the lessons even beforehand if you wanted to. You weren't held back. If you passed the test, boom. You know, we did Saxon math. But anyways, yeah, so what I see is a removal of having it right in front of you. They're removing the textbooks. They're removing all these things. It's all online and it's all through the school system. And so it's an interesting time. But again, a lot of people, even during COVID, you know, had started doing homeschooling, things like that. Kids are learning more because their parents are with them hands-on. Brad, like what you were saying, your mom with you. And that's just super cool. So I feel very encouraged about what's ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's such a great, just a great idea to push forward into the world. And it makes... being involved just makes all the difference, I think. And I don't think obviously there's no right or wrong way to in general terms, everyone parents slightly different. You know, I think you could only just have like a general lineup. But one thing is Lincoln Martin, Hawk Martin, what's up, dude, by the way, says good mentors make good kids, make good adults. And I think that's the same situation we're talking to, being a good mentor to your kid and just being involved. Yeah, I know someone else too, I missed it. Oh, Cybermark said, Brad sounds like you had good parents. I did. And you know what? They weren't, like I said, it's definitely pull offable to be strict, but also cool. Like my parents were super cool and they were supportive and fun. And they would like, if we were into different things, they would get involved or help. Like when I first wanted to play guitar, you know, my dad, my uncle had given me a guitar, and as far as an amp, like I was saving up money with my job at Burger King, and then my dad he helped me out. He matched in. We got this little amp, and they was helping me with the guitar, showing me some things, and then but just like being supportive. And they were always very supportive, but then when it came to, they were my friends, but they also would like, dude, if you messed up, you heard it. And my dad, you know, he would let me know in not so many terms and in not so kind terms, but it worked. Like, you know, we knew to respect them. And so they demanded respect, but they were also fun and cool. I think you could be both. I think some people are afraid nowadays that they might lose their kids if they're too strict. And I think a lot of that comes from outside too. There's actually a lot of outside pressures too, where, you know, if your parents is too mean with you, you got to report that to the school and stuff like that. So I do not envy parents. I think parents during my time and Abby's time had a little bit of a looser, easier go of it to formulate a way to raise their kids the way they want it. But nevertheless, I just think, yeah, overall, yeah, being involved, being a good mentor, and just making sure they know right from wrong and being involved in their life is the absolute number one way forward.
Yeah, I was looking for it. There's a Bible verse, and I know this is extreme, but there's a Bible verse that I remember my dad would say. Well, let me rewind. When we were young, we were disciplined by a paddle, and my parents didn't like, you know, they want you to make you think, oh, they're wailing on you or whatever. No, because you bent over and you had a paddle and you're a little wallop on your bottom for being naughty.
Old school.
Yeah, and that's the way it was. As we got older, it was still discipline. It was discipline of, oh, can't go play with friends today. Or, oh, you know, that whole closet that needed cleaning. it's you, you know, like, or whatever it was. Oh, you're banned from video games. That was a good one for my brother. It's like, oh, you know, he was really good most of the time. But there was discipline. It was consequence. You do this, right? That's how you train a child. It's called child rearing. And it's wonderful for the child because they will grow up way more intelligent, way more educated. They're going to be ready for the world. In fact, they will change the world. Because they're going to be even, you know, basically, if you discipline your child, they're going to learn things early on and they're going to be able to advance faster. They're not going to be still stuck at like 35 years old going, am I a man or a woman? I'm sorry. But really, guys, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's definitely, you definitely need discipline in order to grow. Or you could say, you need, what was it you said earlier, Brad? Boundaries. Boundaries. If you don't want to say discipline, you can say boundaries, but it's basically you need to have consequences for wrongdoing. And that's how you help the child, again, grow. And it's a really beautiful thing. It's making them grow into a beautiful young adult that will be capable, super capable of, you know, doing well in the world, which is what we want. So yeah, and I know that might be extreme to some people, and I'm like, ah! But it's true, and it was my life, you know, it was my raising, and I think it was good. I think it was very good. So
yeah, definitely. And I imagine like different things work for different kids, yeah. And different things work for different parents. You know, it's just the route our parents went. Although we didn't get any paddles. We just got, you know, the old hand. But yeah. it was enough. But it was like once it was established, once me and Sal were like, hey, let's not mess with mom and dad. Once that was established, they were able to be our friends. And it was cool. It worked out very well. One other thing that I think is it good if I can make a suggestion for people out there who have young boys? The Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, to me, one of the greatest influences in my childhood ever. And especially for, like, you know, growing up in a family, we didn't have any money or anything, so we didn't really go on vacations or stuff. But through that, I got to go on camping trips and do all this fun stuff that, you know, totally, like, filled that void, which was cool. And you get to learn like leadership skills. You get to learn how to be respectful. You get to learn discipline and stuff. And I know it's kind of bad. Listen, there obviously any institution with children is targeted by these sick animals, you know, who will prey on children. So you have to be involved. Like my dad and mom from time to time would come on camping trips. They would be involved. They knew the leaders. You know, they weren't there for every second, but it was pretty much established, like, hey, I'm involved in my kid's life. And I imagine they were fully aware that if they ever tried anything, my dad would rip their head off. So, you know, there's, maybe that's why none happened. I think I had good people. I don't think there was any sort of that anyway in the troop that I was in. And I would imagine the majority of these troops don't have people like this. But you definitely being involved and, you know, making your presence known is a good way for the rare occasions where they are around to prevent that. But on a whole, man, oh my gosh, there's just the things you get to go on cool camping trips, but you learn all different things. You learn merit badges, right? So you're learning how to knot tie. You learn how to run different types of bows. So you learn we learned how to shoot 22s. You learn all these survival skills and cool stuff like that. But then again, also too, you learn discipline. And I think this is a big thing just in life, even for adults, you know, even for myself, I've had to relearn it many times over the course of my life. But just learning like discipline, and I've heard that described as discipline is doing something you hate while pretending you love it, basically, you know.
That's good.
But like there were certain things, like say there was this big Boy Scout camp. It was this week long summer camp at Forestburg every year in the Northeast, and troops from all over would come, and you'd sign up for different things that you'd learn throughout the week. And every morning you'd have to go to the main post and stand to do your colors, and they'd play taps, and you know, they would do morning ceremonies. But like certain things like that, it's just like a certain order that you learn to stuff like that. like when you were cooking, there was always KP, and you always had to be cleaned up right away. When the person cooked, the kitchen patrol, KP, had to make sure you cleaned everything right away. Nothing was supposed to be left out, especially for like animals and stuff like that. But also it's just, it teaches you, we'll do it right now. You know, just don't let it go. You just get it done and then you don't have to worry about it. So certain things like that, or, you know, keeping your tent area clean and just different like life values that I learned also from the Boy Scouts, I think were really cool. And that leads into this article I wanted to share. And so it's not a direct thing to Boy Scouts, more about this kid, but here's a story about a kid who had saved his teacher who was choking on an apple. The kid was only 10 years old. Now he's much older. It's 2009. He was 10 years old, right? So she and Kyle, the teacher and Kyle, were alone in the classroom. She was eating an apple and choked. And he goes, they show us how he reacted. He goes, and she goes, and I was choking, and he squeezed me like that twice. First time it didn't work, so he goes, I got it, Mrs. Lowe. And he does it again, and he does it exactly the right way, and the apple came out. Kyle said he learned the Heimlich maneuver last year in the Cub Scouts, and his dad reinforced the teaching. I remember learning the Heimlich maneuver amongst other CPR-type things in the Cub Scouts and then also in the Boy Scouts. I remember learning it also as part of as one of the Forestburg camps. I had taken a lifeguarding class, and he learned that. And this is just one of the many things. You learn all types of stuff like this. So I always thought, to me, this is like one of the really bigger influences on my childhood, of course, aside from my parents and my family and stuff like that. But so I just thought that was so cool. So this kid learned Heimlich maneuver in the Cub Scouts and saved this freaking teacher because of it. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that is so awesome and amazing. I love being prepared. When you know how to do something, you don't panic. You know something, so fear doesn't take over. But I liked right what it said there. The dad enforced the teachings. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So there we go again. That was definitely key. Not only did he learn something cool on the Cub Scouts, you know, something that could save another person's life, his parents were involved in that training or keeping it going, you know, maybe more practice. Yeah. And he saved a woman's life. People die of choking. You know, if no one's there, you will die. I mean, if you can't get it out. And so that is such an amazing story and of a young person to do that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Now, what also is really cool is that people actually support us doing this, guys. We have a couple more ads here that we think you'll be excited about.
Badlanders love Benson Honey Farms. Indulge in this authentic, unpasteurized, 100% natural honey, a product of diligent bees working the fields of wildflowers. It's as raw and robust as the spirit of the Badlands. When you're seeking a taste that's real, pure, and American, choose Benson Honey Farms, the sweetness born and bred in the heart of Nebraska. Craving something sweet? Benson Honey's honey-infused candies capture the essence of Nebraska. Each bite is a delightful taste of home. And don't forget to try the goat's milk honey soap. Benson Honey Farms, a celebration of the American first spirit, a symbol of resilience of our homeland. Embodying the spirit of Badlands, their family-run operation is a reminder that the true flavor of America lies in its heartland. Benson Honey Farms, proudly American, naturally delicious. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/honey. That's badlandsmedia.tv/honey.
Are you tired of searching for the perfect gift for the men in your life? Look no further. Introducing Manly Cans, the ultimate destination for spoiling your guys with the cool stuff we actually want. Whether it be anniversaries, birthdays, or just for the heck of it, Manly Cans are more than just gifts. They're an experience. Each can is carefully packed in reusable packaging, including cans, burlap bags, and even a greeting card that doubles as a coaster. You can even customize your Manly Cans to fit your man's personality. Choose from a wide variety of cans, and during checkout, add additional items to make it just right for him. Manly Cans is an unforgettable experience that supports other small businesses too. Join us in our mission to take care of the men in your life. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/manlycans today and give your guy a gift to remember. Manly Cans. Because, well, men deserve to be spoiled too. That's badlandsmedia.tv/manlycans.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to get you a manly can, Brad. I love the ad.
Those do look cool. I got to admit. Okay, so I guess we have more of a serious topic at the very end here. And thank you guys for hanging out again. And please don't forget to hit that like button and definitely subscribe to Badlands. Now, this is kind of a trend that's been going on. And this just happened where the seventh grade girl was hospitalized after a trans student attacked her with a Stanley Cup at Pennsylvania Middle School. And man, I think this kind of speaks to, again, just what we're talking about. Like, we're all, like, putting these kids on, like, psych meds and behavioral meds. And then they're also hitting them with all these pressures of society. And then where you get something like this where, I don't know if they were on hormone blockers or stuff, but messing with the chemical imbalance, or at the very least, you're hitting them with these heavy topics of, like, oh, you're not even the person you think you are type stuff. And middle school, you know, like 12, this is just too heavy for kids. And this one boy who identifies as a girl, this trans girl, snapped on this other girl. It's really heartbreaking. We have a video here of one of the girls who witnessed it. And apparently they were warning them that this was going to happen. And they didn't want to do anything because they didn't want to be like, oh my God, I don't want to be known as transphobic. So check this out.
Wednesday morning, I went to the guidance counselor and told her since I was second on the hit list, knowing that there was something going to happen because there was a girl she was targeting every day at lunch. And they would go to the counselor and tell them every day that this is going to happen. And Wednesday, I went with two others. And each of us filled out a whole paper full of what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. And then I went to chorus and I was told, watch your back. He is going to come for you and this other girl at lunch. And when I was at lunch, I was terrified. And I told Miss Fattori that was happening. And she said, don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. But... And early that morning, I was told I was not going to see Mel for the rest of that week. But I was in lunch, and all of a sudden, I just hear all this screaming and everybody running. And I see Mel running in after somebody, and everyone's screaming and running. But the girl who got attacked didn't see it because she was faced backwards. And all of a sudden, you just hear these terrible, like, loud bangs of the Stanley bouncing off her head. And then you see Mel grabbing her hair and hitting her against the table and just repeatedly hitting her with the Stanley. There was blood going everywhere. I was the table right behind. And all you see is blood everywhere. And it was just... And then you say in your email that it was 8 minutes, but we timed it. It was 28 minutes. And we had to sit in there and watch them clean up her blood off those tables and ground. And we had to watch them take her out with blood dripping down her face, and I will never forget that. And laying in bed last night, I just kept repeating it in my head, and we shouldn't have had to sit there and just, like, watch them clean up her blood with the mop, watch her repeatedly yelling that I'm gonna murder you, and just hitting her with the Stanley. And I don't get how, like, you couldn't have stopped it. It was 5 hours from when I told you it was going to happen and when it happened. It was 5 whole hours. I don't get how you couldn't have stopped that. And how Ms. Fattori said, don't worry, it's not going to happen. We have her under control. But clearly you didn't.
Oh my gosh. I forgot how crazy that was. So these girls warned... was it Ms. Mattelli? I don't know. But basically warned a teacher or an adult about how she was targeted, another girl was targeted 5 hours in advance But as we can all suspect, and this is obviously just my opinion, is that because people didn't want to look transphobic, they didn't do anything. And then it's insane what they're saying, brutally bashed with a cup over their head. Now, if this is a transgender kid, which is what it's saying, it's a boy, okay, smashing a girl's head with a cup and then smashing her head on the table in front of the whole class, you know, at lunchroom. And then they have to watch them clean up the blood. Like, this is the most traumatic event I could ever imagine my child to see. This is insane and terrible.
Yeah, this is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I know, like, regular fights happen, right? When I was in school, there were lots of fights. But it's just, again, like, if a boy ever starts smashing a girl's head, he would have been tackled. It's just, but this one, he identifies as transgender, so they didn't want to do anything to him, or they didn't want to say anything or upset. They were being warned it was going to happen. Again, if they were saying, like, oh, this boy's going to attack this girl in the lunchroom today, they would have been brought out and talked to, or they would have been watched. And there's just all this thing where they don't want to go after them, or they don't want to upset them. And it's just the whole ideology, man. It's really messing with the youth. I think that's the main idea. And it just has to be stopped. You know, there's a time and place for this. Obviously, some people really feel this way. And when they're adults, they should be allowed to do whatever they want. This is America, as long as you're not hurting someone else. But leave the kids out of it and stop putting these ideologies into their mind. They have enough stress as kids. It's kind of messed up. And I think this case is something, just another example of, you know, just a mentally unstable kid being handled with gloves, because no one's allowed to do anything. Everyone's afraid to discipline. Everyone's afraid to say anything. And I think that's how they were able to do a lot of this stuff. They handicapped the parents, they handicapped teachers. They basically made it so you can't discipline kids at all. And it doesn't have to be physical discipline, but anything. You can't even be mean to them anymore. You can't even, like, yell at them. Like, why are you yelling at my kid? It's pretty ridiculous at this point. And honestly, it only does a disservice to the children, and which then in turn does a disservice to society.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. Again, they use the trans title so that you can't call out it for what it is. The girl boy scream, "I'm going to murder you." Like, the thing is, it doesn't matter what gender you are. I don't care if you're black or white. I don't care about any of that. If you're going to murder somebody, or you take another human and smash their head, there should be consequences. I actually would want to see the follow-up of this, because they're probably going to just sweep this under the rug and, oh, it's just a little incident. But that's pretty wild. And then what does it show that whole class, that whole age group of children, is that these transgender kids can kind of do whatever they want because of that fear of the discrimination. They can get away with more things. Because this is, guys, is, I mean, you can see this. You know, you look at it yourself. This is, you know, definitely to look and make your own opinion. But this is what I see. And they get away with stuff. And then kids say, hey, this kid's going to bash this kid's head in after school or after lunch. I think she said that. Coming after you after lunch. They told the adults and nothing was done. And so that shows you that that brainwash ideology is so strong that it is more important than the safety of the children. That's scary. That's really scary when you think about that. So,
yeah,
I hope that girl's all right.
Yeah, I hope she is too. And again, I don't envy being a teacher these days either. Because even like the regular ones, you know, they're handicapped from the top a lot of times. And it's just, and then they're afraid. And same thing with even cops. There's a whole bunch of things right now where it's like we're prosecuting all the wrong people. Some people get afraid. They don't want to do something. And then you're just allowed mental illness and crime to run crazy. But anyway, I think the people in here are raising their kids right, and hopefully they won't they won't be on the wrong end of something like this. And I think it's just really important. The U.S. why shows like this and conversations like this are really important to just make sure the youth grow up with good morals and good teachings and with love in their hearts. And so they could just be really good members of society.
Oh, heck yeah. That's what it's all about. And I've made this argument before. Well, actually, I wouldn't call it an argument. But basically, if you do teach your children or offspring good morals, they will actually be able to advance to a higher level. So I say the evolution of mankind, a higher level in knowledge or understanding of whatever at a younger age. And that's what we want, because we don't want them to just be just waste their whole young youth trying to figure out, am I a man or a woman, or you know, being watching TV and being on the screens all the time, because there's a thing with that too. All this stuff that we didn't grow up with, Brad, basically, and all this stuff they're facing. So it's so important more now than ever to really just kind of break in there as a parent and really assert yourself through with love and fun. And that's what I do with my kids, and me and Brad do that. It's actually could be a super fun thing being a parent. You just, you know, need to have some rules and standards. And once you have that, then it's great. And then it's just so exciting just watching a kid grow and flourish and just become an awesome person. So yeah, it's super, super cool. Oh, I think Brad, I was like, what's happening?
Get them a hug.
Oh, you're in mute. You're muted.
And then the final parental tip is get them a little pug. It brings happiness to every household.
It works wonders. That's a good snore.
Say hi, Sparky. Say hi.
He's like, where's that coming from? I like how it looks like with his thing, it looks like he's wearing like a little vest. I'm a dignified young man. You get a monocle for Sparky.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Well, thank you guys for hanging out. I hope you had fun. I believe next week Kate and Ash will be back at it here with you guys. And as always, you can catch me and Abby every Tuesday night at 7:30. We go through some nice digs and a whole array of topics. We usually have a lot of fun putting the show together. And it was cool hanging out, and I hope you guys are too have been enjoying Gart. It looks like everyone's having a freaking awesome time there. And so if for everyone who's there enjoying digitally, or even if you're there in person, I don't know why you're on your computer if you're there in person, but hopefully you guys are enjoying. And yeah, don't forget to give us a thumbs up. Let everyone know that you liked us filling in, and we will see you on Tuesday. Any last words, Zap?
Oh, just thank you guys. And yeah, I second that. Thumbs up really helps. And yeah, hopefully this was good and informative, and just hopefully it could be a cool, safe space for us to always talk about, you know, our children and education and really the advancement of mankind and what route we are choosing to take. And we're really taking the reins, which I'm super happy to see this next generation really taking the reins with their kids. And it's a really beautiful thing. So thank you guys so much. Love you all too. There's a lot of love out in chat. And yeah, hopefully we'll see you guys this next Tuesday.
Yes. And really quick, shout out to W. Willman, who with Super Chat, who said, thank you both for doing the show. Love you both. And also shout out to our friends over at the Foxhole. We see you guys and we love you guys. I'm going to pull this up right now. With D. Dallid is saying hello, Brad and Abby, and hello, Val. And we will see you guys again on Tuesday. Take care.
Lord knows I've tried to paint that town every shade of red. There's a lot of whiskey bottles and skeletons. I broke more hearts than the strings on my guitars. one was gold and damn sure wouldn't bend. She saw her baby in the crazy, her child in the wild. She brought me in this world and kept me here. 5 foot five, full of grace, full of pride. She saw me coming a mile away. So far from heaven, no chance I would get it. She didn't see me that way. Oh, the devil only knows the sinner I would be. But mama raised the hell out of me. Yeah, mama raised the hell right out of me. Curly phone cable, leaving tears on the table, saying, what did my boy do this time? Yeah, she could've hung up or gave up. Said she was fed up, but she looked up and prayed to Jesus to hold her eye. Yeah, that devil downstairs sure tried hard to get me there, but he didn't stand a chance against. 5 foot five, full of grace, full of pride. She saw me coming. She brought me in this world and kept me here. 5 foot five, full of grace, full of pride. She saw me coming a mile away. So far from heaven, no chance I would get.